This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan are our signature sponsors. We start our show with the legendary Denny Dale McLain, the 31-game winner for the Detroit Tigers, 1968 MVP and Cy Young Award winner and World Series champion, and then won the Cy Young again in the year of 1969. He is a man who has an authority on baseball then and now, and we're going to talk about the World Series in the COVID age. But before we get there, in the last few months, we've lost six Hall of Famers. It's been an amazing year, and three of them played in that 1968 World Series. Al Kaline, the great teammate of Denny McLain, and on the other side, Bob Gibson and Southern University's Lou Brock. And Denny, a great loss, and amazing that so many of these luminaries are passing away so quickly in time.
Well, I told everybody a couple of days ago, I said, God's upset with the Hall of Fame. I said, the worst place to be right now is a member of the Hall of Fame. Because he's knocking them off one at a time. It's a strange thing. It's a strange occurrence. But on the other hand, with few exceptions, most of the guys are a little bit older. They've had a good run for the most part. And, it's to be expected sooner or later. I don't know any other way to answer the question other than it's expected. I mean, we're all going to go dust to dust, right? And bottom line is, just get as much out of this life that we have right now and do your deal every day and do your thing every day, and God will bless you somewhere, some way down the road.
Well, I mentioned the 68 series, and when Al Kaline died a few months ago, we talked with you on air, and Now we've lost Lou Brock and Bob Gibson, and you were paired against him in that opening game. And one of the great ironies is that perhaps the two best pitching performances in the second half of the 20th century happened in the same season, with Gibson for St. Louis and you for Detroit. Gibson with a 1.12 ERA and 13 shutouts, you with a 31 wins. And you were matched in the opening game of the World Series, 1 o'clock, Busch Stadium. That's when they played in the afternoon, and there you were playing The Oregon a few hours before the game. But that was quite a spectacle, wasn't it?
That was quite a spectacle. We had quite the time the night before the ball game. We knew in the grand scheme of things, we knew they had one pitcher. And we couldn't figure out how they got to the World Series. That was one of the questions we beat around the last month of the season, because we just could not figure out, did they score that many runs? And then when you looked at their stats, they didn't. They must have played some great defense, which, of course, they did. And, like I've always said, if you hit a cutoff man, you know how to play the game. And they certainly did that, but we were surprised because the pitching was less than good. And the one guy we knew we were going to have a little bit of trouble with was Gibson. And I will tell you this from the bottom of my heart: this first game of the World Series in '68, he was the best pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball. For one game, for one 2.5-hour period of time, he was the best pitcher baseball has ever seen in a World Series game and or any other kind of game. The guy was unbelievable. He could have told you what was coming, and it would have made a difference. Mm-hmm. I know when I went up to try to hit off of him, they had the shirts. They also had white shirts out in center field, too. So we also had that problem. But so did they. I mean, both teams got to play with the same shirts in center field. And I'm going to tell you, when Gibson came in at one particular place, you could not see the ball. And just think, that ball's coming at you. It's, 95, 100 miles an hour, whatever it might be. And he had extra that day. I mean, he had extra. And when you start throwing the fastball by Al Kaline and Willie Horton and Norman Cash, you have really got something special going on. The only thing we were shocked at is he didn't throw a no-hitter. That's how good he was. Right. And then, of course, we get him in the third game, with the seventh game of the series, and Lolich had a great World Series. And there's a great big flip-around story. I mean, Mickey was they almost let Mickey go sometime in early '68 because he was pitching so badly. They were trying to make a deal for him. They're trying to trade him. And lo and behold, he finally got his act together sometime around late July, early August. And by the time the World Series came, he was in good shape. He was able to pitch again. He was winning again. And he was the answer that we needed, and he was just terrific in the World Series.
Well, I remember that game. I was 10 years old, but Jim Northrup hit a ball that Curt Flood misjudged, and Lou Brock did not slide at home plate, and those were two key plays in that game.
Well, let me straighten something out. He didn't misplay the ball. I mean, the ball was hit that hard. People don't remember, but that the ball he hit, Jimmy hit, was one bounce to the fence. I mean, you would have to be Secretariat in your prime to catch that fly ball. So everybody talked about this thing being misjudged. He didn't misjudge it. The ball was hit over his head. He just Northrup was a good hitter, good player. If it wasn't for Kaline, Northrup would have been a superstar in Major League Baseball. That's for sure. And, like I said, eventually when we were going to all these dinners together, both teams, and they were introducing the Cardinals like, they were the second coming of Major League Baseball, and I had to remind everybody at the Major League dinner that year, I said, by the way, it's just great to hear all the plaudits and all the great things you're saying about the St. Louis Cardinals. I said, man, I'm impressed, but can I remind everybody of something? We won, not you, we won. So, it used to really get me, too, and it used to really bother me the way they would spend all this time on the St. Louis Cardinals and then give us an honorable mention, as I used to say.
And you beat them in their home park, too, so there's no doubt
that
the Tigers were the best in the world in 1968. Yep. Now, Gibson won 7 World Series games. Whitey Ford won 10. He was pitching when you first came up. What do you remember about him?
Whitey Ford?
Yes.
Whitey was, one of my idols growing up. I mean, I think Whitey was everybody's idol growing up. He was that kind of guy. He was a gentleman at all times. He was an absolute gentleman at all times, and he knew how to, he knew how to pitch to begin with. You were always in awe of Whitey because Whitey didn't throw the ball at 100 miles an hour. Whitey didn't throw it at 95. Whitey had terrific control. And he knew what he was doing. And, if you watched Whitey, you could, in fact, I got to pull up just drop my damn pants, Jim, I'm sorry. I didn't put my belt on. I don't know. What the hell?
Anyway,
we're
talking about Whitey. I got some questions from listeners that may get us out of this jam. But one is about the Astros cheating last year. It says, how do fans reconcile what the Astros did, Denny?
Well, I don't know if they can now. I thought the commissioner blew it, and I don't say that disparagingly, but I think they should have been suspended in some form. They should have had something taken away from them besides a couple of managers getting fired and other guys being suspended for a short period of time. I think it was wrong to let everybody just walk away. And all the guys that, and I won't name names today, but and all the guys that have always stood up according to what we read about integrity, and they're out ahead of everything, and they're going to tell you the truth. And where were all those guys? Where were all those guys? I mean, the Verlanders and guys like that, where were they? I mean, they were cheating for a couple of years, and nobody said a word. So, it's just a goofy thing when you reflect upon it and see how many people participated, how many people knew about it, and nobody said a word until this one kid makes a comment when he went to Oakland. And that was it. That's when the water got out of the bottle that day.
All right. Some other questions from listeners. This one, and you are a man who follows the world. What about the plot to kidnap your governor? What about that?
Isn't that something? I think most of us were in awe when they had this thing going on at the Capitol building, and everybody was bringing rifles and handguns and walking through the Capitol building with their guns. And by the way, we are the same as Louisiana. You can hold your gun, you can carry your gun, do whatever the heck you do with a gun, you can do here. But everybody was scared. Everybody thought something bad was going to happen, and apparently, if the feds or whomever was in charge of this investigation weren't listening to the story, something bad could have happened to one or possibly more governors than just ours. And she's a great lady. She takes no lip from anybody, and she's done a good job for us, especially where it comes to the disease itself. We got a little surge like everybody else does right now, but mostly kids. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt the kids, but, you know, somehow, some way. I keep asking everybody, no matter where I go, I ask one question. What the hell is wrong with the mask? I don't see anything wrong with the mask. In fact, it makes some people look better.
Well, we got to take a very short break of 90 seconds, but when sure. we return, we're going to get Denny's take on who wins the World Series this year in this COVID age, a weird, weird phenomenon that we're in. But we are playing the games, and of course, for those following the LSU Tigers, who are off to a rough start, the game against Florida is now in jeopardy. 19 Gator players have tested positive for COVID. So we'll talk more with Dennis Dale McLean, 877-217-5757, your number, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Coming in just a few moments, Senator Katrina Jackson with Amendment 1. The election is 20 days away. Denny McLean, the fabulous pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, 31 wins in 68, 24 and 69. No pitcher in the modern age has won 55 games over the course of two seasons. Sandy Koufax didn't do that. Best he ever did was 53 in two seasons. But Denny McLean was the best pitcher in baseball, 68, 69, and his career ended early with shoulder problems. And one question from a listener, a good one. Clayton Kershaw missed his start last night, supposedly back issues. Is back often shoulder? Is that some kind of concealment, or is that the real deal?
No, I think he's a real deal. I think he's had this before. All pitchers from time to time will get these terrible, terrible, terrible spasms in the lower part of your back. And it's just from bending over and picking up the rosin bag and picking up the ball and, you know, doing the things you have to. I mean, throwing a baseball overhand is abnormal, as everybody probably knows. Throwing it soft, like softball, that's the way it should be. But obviously, we don't play that game. But no, this is a real deal. And if he doesn't get back in there, I mean, listen, he's just down to one game anyway. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with these guys today. Because, boy, they could be going home real soon.
It looks like it could be the Braves and the Rays. But what do you think about who's the best team in
baseball? I like the Rays. I like the Rays a lot. I've done some work for them in the past. I'm a little prejudiced, too. But I'll tell you one thing they do. As you can see, they've got great pitching. I mean, and I don't use the word great very, very easily. They somehow, some way, they always wind up with seven or eight kids that can throw the ball and break meteors. I mean, that's how fast they can throw some of these fastballs that they've got. And the good news is not only can they throw the ball, because I saw Dave DeBuscher, who I saw years and years ago. He was a basketball player also, All-American there and All-Pro there. The Knicks, president of the Knicks for a long time. And Dave DeBuscher threw the ball harder than anybody I've ever seen in my life. I don't care who they want to talk about, DeBuscher, but his ball was as straight as a ruler. I mean, the ball was so damn straight, you couldn't believe that something doesn't move at 100 miles an hour. And it didn't. And, of course, Dave got lucky and went back into the NBA. And, of course, he had a tremendous career in the NBA. But those things do happen, and somehow the Rays keep coming up with these guys. Not only are they throwing the ball at 95, 100 miles an hour, but the ball's moving all over the place. Mm-hmm. And somebody over there, I don't know who their pitching coach is right now, but somebody there is really teaching these kids how to throw a changeup. And that's been the most impressive thing. So now you've got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and you got an 80-mile-an-hour changeup. Man, those hitters are in trouble because they can't sit on either one of those pitches. And, you can sit on a fastball and you can catch up with a changeup. But the changeups are so good, God, these players can't even catch up with it. So I've been really, really, really impressed with the stuff that these kids are putting out there every night.
Well, Denny, we'll follow the World Series with you. Might even give you a call, but it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend.
You give me a call, and we'll 2468. Who do we appreciate? The Tampa Bay Rays.
There you go. Take care, my friend.
Have a good one. Thanks, Jimmy.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.